Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. A few weeks ago, I did a program about Jehu, a king of northern Israel from 840 to 815 BC. The account of his reign is covered in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 9 through 10. And that program brought up this whole topic of the place and the purpose of these Old Testament accounts of the kings of Israel. Why has God placed these records in our Bibles? Very few Christians can even name the kings of Israel, let alone tell you the spiritual lesson embedded in their life story. So this is what I want to discuss on today's program. The significance of the amazing books of the Kings and the Chronicles. 112 chapters containing the history of Israel from the first king until the last. 400 years from about 1000 BC to 600 BC. About the same amount of time as the American experience from 1620, the landing of the Pilgrims, until today. Now, the first thing we need to consider is the remarkable nature of these books. Christians have come to take them for granted, but there is not another culture in the world that has produced a spiritual record of its history like what we find in the books of Kings and Chronicles. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Chinese, all have records of their kings and the battles, but only Israel looked at history in regard to how their nation fared in their relationship with the Most High God. You see, the people of this world don't judge themselves by their faithfulness to God. They don't see their successes or failures as a function of obedience to God. But only Israel had the prophets who related national events and the nation's well-being to a holy, all-powerful Creator God. And these historical books are another evidence of the doctrine of biblical inspiration, that the Bible is God's book. 2 Peter 1:21, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." No other people have a book with such insight into the spiritual condition of their leaders, even writing negatively about the kings and about the nation. And the works of the Babylonians and the Egyptian chroniclers are juvenile compared to the Hebrew scriptures. Something very special was going on in Israel. Either the Jews were religious geniuses, or they had supernatural guidance. Of course, we believe the latter. But even if someone doesn't believe in biblical inspiration, they still have to wrestle with the fact that the Jewish scriptures stand apart from every other ancient work. And for me, the uniqueness of the Hebrew scriptures is an undeniable proof of biblical inspiration. No people could have or would have written this kind of record without God-given spiritual insight. Imagine for a moment if someone were to write a spiritual history of America, like that found in the Kings and in the Chronicles. That because George Washington or John Adams had a certain relationship with God or lack thereof, this or that happened in the nation, which set in motion a series of events. Now, there are authors today who comment about the religious conditions of America at certain times, but never completely and never authoritatively. They only apply the lessons already taught in Scripture. And unless God inspires an author, it would be impossible to be definite regarding a spiritual analysis of each president and each decade. But in the books of Kings and Chronicles, each of the kings of Israel are evaluated as to whether they obeyed God or disobeyed God. Either the king and the people did right in the sight of the Lord, or they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And here are the fruit of their actions. Now, as we would expect, because of the uniqueness of these historical books, academic, unbelieving critics of the Bible love to find errors in these books. Rather than being amazed at the spiritual insights, they work on discrediting inspiration. Because liberal secularists do not believe in the supernatural. For them, the Bible is simply religious superstition. And so at liberal seminaries and at secular state colleges, classes in biblical texts have as their objective the disproving of biblical inspiration. For them, the Kings and the Chronicles are just part of the Jehovah cult. That these religious teachers simply saw everything as it related to their local deity. And there are a few minor copyist errors in comparing the dates recorded in the Kings as opposed to the Chronicles, but those are easily fixed by comparing manuscripts. And there are many human aspects to these books. The writers used source material. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 14. King David had an official court chronicler or recorder. 2 Kings chapters 18 through 20 almost quote verbatim the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 36 through 39. In 1 Kings 11, 41, the unknown book of the Acts of Solomon is quoted. Now the rest of the Acts of Solomon and whatever he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the Acts of Solomon? And the book of Kings borrows from the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Not specifically the book of the Chronicles, but other records penned by the court chroniclers. 1 Kings 14, 19. Now the rest of the Acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So, the writers of Kings and Chronicles used other source material. But this is not a problem for biblical inspiration, for those who truly understand biblical inspiration. Inspiration doesn't mean God quoted the Bible to the prophets in first person, line after line. Biblical inspiration means men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Inspiration is a mysterious wedding of the human writer with all of his knowledge and personality with the mind of God. Like Jesus, fully divine yet fully human. The written word of God is like Jesus, the living word of God. When the master musician picks up a violin to play it, it sounds like a violin. When he picks up a trumpet, it has all the sounds and the abilities of a trumpet. So when God picked up Jeremiah or Isaiah or Peter or Paul, God used all of their knowledge and their personality to write the scriptures. He even had them write in first person, I Paul, I Peter. Yet these authors also claimed to be writing in God's behalf. And so in inspiration, we learn that God doesn't work apart from us. He works through us. He doesn't overcome us like a demon possessing a man. He unites with us, leaving us with our own personhood. We're not used as machines. We're treated as sons. So who wrote the Kings and the Chronicles? The names of the authors are not written in the book. But according to Jewish tradition, Jeremiah wrote 1 and 2 Kings. Ezra wrote 1 and 2 Chronicles. Remember Jeremiah the prophet, his ministry was to show Israel's failure to obey God's covenant. So Jeremiah would write a spiritual history of Israel to show that unfaithfulness to Jehovah God was the cause of all of Israel's problems. Jeremiah would explain in the book of Kings how the Jews failed the covenant by dividing the nation into two kingdoms. How the northern kingdom created an apostate form of Jehovah worship. How the government of northern Israel was never obedient to God. Had three revolutions and always went through political unrest. Jeremiah would show how the prophet Elijah and Elisha were sent to correct northern Israel, and the people didn't listen. And the book of Kings also goes on to detail all the sins of David and Solomon and all the other kings to show southern Israel's departure from the Lord. And so what Jeremiah is doing is that he's not simply preaching that Israel has sinned. He's explaining in detail the history of how Israel has sinned. Jeremiah has out on his table all the history and the records of the politics of Israel. And he weaves it together to show the spiritual lesson God intends. Not unlike God and Country Radio. God wants us to learn spiritual lessons from these geopolitical events. And God couches his truth in the current events of the day, in the actions of kings and presidents. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2:13, "How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not gone after the Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done." And Jeremiah 4:18, "Your ways and your deeds have brought these things upon you. This is your evil." So how were the people to know their way unless the man of God, Jeremiah, would go through this massive effort of researching and documenting the spiritual history of Israel? Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." Well, how are the people to know about the ancient paths unless they're educated in the spiritual history of their country? Now let's consider the book of Chronicles, written by Ezra. After the Jews began to return to the land of Israel after the Babylonian exile, about 400 BC, Ezra was the priest who reestablished the worship of Jehovah in Israel. Ezra 7:10. "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and his ordinances in Israel." So we can ask the question, how did Ezra teach God's statutes and ordinances? Well, one way was to write a history of Israel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, to explain to the Jews that the exile and all of the nation's problems were due to apostasy from Jehovah, disobedience to the Mosaic covenant. So Ezra is in effect saying that if the Jewish nation is to be blessed of God in the future, don't make the same mistakes as the past. And here's the history of the past. There's a difference in content between the Kings and the Chronicles. Jeremiah writes the book of Kings to illustrate apostasy in both the northern and the southern kingdom. Ezra, on the other hand, writes the book of Chronicles in regard to the southern kingdom alone, in regard to the line of David through which the theocracy of Israel would continue. And if you notice, Chronicles begins with genealogical lists, which were very important after the exile to establish who was who. Who was in the line of David? Who was in the line of the priesthood? Now, let me conclude by summing up some of the spiritual lessons God would have us glean from the Kings and the Chronicles. There is an overall message, and that is Israel's failure to create a theocracy. Every king failed, even the best kings. And the lesson here is that only the Messiah could save the nation and bring in everlasting righteousness. And it's not as if the nation of Israel could succeed if she had another try at it. Hebrews chapter 7, the law makes nothing perfect. Until Christ could change hearts and put a new spirit within people, there could not be a righteous nation. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles are simply a historical illustration of Romans chapter 3. That there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. And the reader leaves these books with gloom and sadness, with the only hope being the salvation that the Lord would bring through the Messiah. But in addition to the overall spiritual lesson, there are individual examples of the ways people sin against the Lord. The failure of each king is described, and each king can be seen as a type of individuals today. Both social leaders and rank-and-file church members. Just like individuals today, each king either did right in the sight of the Lord, or did evil in the sight of the Lord, or did right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Some people are like Asa, the king who turned to the physicians for help rather than to the Lord. Some people today are like Jehoshaphat, the compromising king. Some people today are like Joash, the king who only served God while his priest was alive. Or like Uzziah, the king who was wonderfully helped until he became strong. Or King Hezekiah, the man who lived 15 years too long. Each king is an example of people today. And in this sense, these books are written to warn Christians about the tendency of their own sinful flesh. For in the flesh, we might fall into the sins of David, or the sins of Hezekiah, or the sins of Jehoshaphat. And so the book of Kings and Chronicles applies to these personal issues. But in saying this, let's not forget that the immediate context is political. Often Bible teachers will take these historical narratives and apply them to self-help personal issues. And that's fine. But don't neglect the political aspect. Before Christmas, I was given a series in my church about the Christmas prophecies in the book of Isaiah. And very few Christians realize the political nature of those prophecies. God told Ahaz to ask for a sign of deliverance from the attacking armies of northern Israel and the Arameans. And the sign of deliverance was a child to be born, a son to be given. But Ahaz didn't believe these prophecies, and so he turned to the empire of Assyria for help. The spiritual lessons of faithfulness or unfaithfulness to the Lord were couched in geopolitical decisions. Christians ought not to insist that they have no interest in politics, because the Bible is filled with politics. Politics is one of the fields in which the battle is waged between God and Satan. Politics is the venue through which man either shows his rebellion to God or his obedience to God. Not just individually, but corporately. So what we ought to do with the books of the Kings and the Chronicles is apply the principles and the examples to people and events in our own day. Now, why don't we hear this kind of application coming from the pulpits here in America? Let me quickly give you a few reasons. First, many Christian leaders are not well taught or versed in the books of the Kings and the Chronicles. They have never studied the history well enough so that current events remind them of these Old Testament accounts. Second, there may be some reluctance to apply the lessons of the Kings to contemporary situations out of some belief that the Old Testament is taboo, that it has no relevance for Gentile nations. Yet Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:6 that the Old Testament was written as an example for us. And a third reason, especially among liberal theologians and left-leaning evangelicals, is simply unbelief. So many people do not have any belief or confidence that anything definite can be said about the spiritual condition or behavior of anyone. They're like the scribes and the Pharisees who do not speak with authority. There are many religious teachers who refuse to believe that our national well-being is based upon our obedience to God, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What do you think the secularists and the Baal worshippers thought of Jeremiah's spiritual history of Israel? They're probably outraged. Here these Jehovah worshippers have written a history book claiming that the failures of the nation were due to a departure from Jehovah God, and the embracing of Baal worship, immorality, homosexuality, idolatry, child sacrifice. In fact, the people in Jeremiah's day claimed the opposite. Jeremiah 44:17. The people said that ever since we stopped being faithful to our idols, misfortune has come upon us. And the same is being done in our day. Secular liberals are rewriting America's history for the purpose of claiming that it's our Christian past that has resulted in social injustice, slavery, homophobia, misogyny, xenophobia. And atheist economists only see the success of our nation based upon economic policy. They don't even consider that the people's relationship with God is the primary cause for every outcome in the nation. The books of the Kings and the Chronicles, and this whole truth of evaluating the nation spiritually, is not just scorned. It's rejected as being evil. And these books are a threat to the secular humanist agenda because they cause people to see the world through theism. And that's why few apply and heed these historical books of the Old Testament. The world thinks Christianity is fine as long as you don't apply it to real life. But those of us who know the Lord and believe, we need to turn to these inspired accounts to discern events and people in our own day. And if I've been able to inspire you to spend more time studying these books of the Bible, then today's program has accomplished its goal. God wants his people to be knowledgeable prophets to this generation. In closing, I would like to offer you a free resource. A number of years ago, I did a series on the kings of Israel. And I created a timeline chart of all of the kings and the placement of the prophets. On the back side is a list of the 23 kings of southern Israel with a one-sentence description of their character. I have a number of people in my church who always keep this chart in their Bibles as a quick reference. So email me or call me and I will send you this chart for free. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. And from there, you can email me. But I realize that many people still are without internet access. So you can call Harbor Bible Church and request a free chart. The number is 732-583-9286. And again, the website is godandcountryradio.org. The telephone number again is 732-583-9286. And if you weren't able to get all of this information down, you can always contact this radio station for my contact information. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we have one more thing to be so grateful for: the insight that you have given to us in the account of Israel's history, apart from which we'd be in the dark on so many things. So help us to learn what you would have us to know about your person and your work in this world. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.